everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den. The show that is better than cleaning up your boss's mess. Our number to call if you are listening live on Tuesday is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davidsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening one of our internet affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that and click chat. And go, I am your number one man, Davin Rosemont. I'm joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And Joe will be here soon. Soon.
Yes, soon.
Joe will be here soon.
Yes.
We don't like to put a set time on Joe.
No, because it's impossible to guess with the throughway traffic being what it is.
Yeah, so he'll be here, shortly. On the show, we're going to discuss what do you collect that's worthless but a burden to whoever inherits it. We got a hoarder on staff, so that should be interesting.
I was like, when do we stop talking about it?
Yeah, well, fortunately, the segment's limited in time, but basically we're going to go with, I guess, your living room?
just there?
I'm being generous.
Thank you.
Donald Trump campaign advisor, Matt Golub, joined me earlier, so I'll be playing that interview.
That's amazing.
It certainly is amazing. Amazing is the word to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Comics in the news with the effect on the political races having on New York City clubs. I'm going to merge that in with my experience on Thursday night performing in the city, which is right when everything was going down that's been going down with the police and the African-Americans and Dallas, all that. So I'll combine that, my experience with that. New School of Fools involving racial treats on the police. And the IRS scammers called me. They called me.
How stupid are they?
I don't know. So I called them back, and I recorded it for you people.
That was lovely of you to do.
I do that. I do that for you folks. I wasn't sure if I was going to do that. I'm like, on Facebook, I'm like, well, should I do this? I put on Facebook, should I do this, or should I do something productive? I was like, no, you need to call them back. Well, I'm like, well, I'm going to call them back.
Yeah, of course.
I got to record it.
Just out of idle curiosity.
Yeah, so I have the original message from them.
Uh-huh.
And then I will play the interview. I'll play the phone conversation so you can hear what is on the other end when the IRS calls you and says, we got bad news for you.
Yeah. Mr. X.
Yes. And Ann Jackson, because it's not a show without Ann Jackson.
No.
My favorite part of the show.
Yes, of course it is.
It's my favorite part. Love Ann Jackson.
Well, she's sort of like the unofficial mascot.
Is that what she is?
I think so.
Okay.
You know, some people have, you know, Pokemon Go. Some people like Hello Kitty.
You know, we might do a story in the coming weeks on the Pokemon Go because they're doing it in bad places now.
Mm.
But, I mean, just really. I mean, this is society now. Grown adults walking all over the place looking for their imaginary friends. That's really where we're at this point. That's what's voting for the future of the free world. So don't say it's a millennial thing. Nuh-uh. Stupidity knows no bounds. But that's fine. It's you know, it beats talking to somebody, I guess. I guess it beats
reading people. Yeah.
I guess it beats reading a book. So, yeah. So I didn't play Pokemon back in the day. I don't have Pokemon now. I'm not going to get the app because it entitles Google to have everything of yours.
To know every place
and
you've
been. And they can edit pretty much everything. Your photos. They can pretty much do anything they want except change your password. But if you're so inclined to do the Pokemon, feel free to give Google everything.
Well, you know what? It almost seems like in today's society, people are not, you know, like especially younger people are not really conscious about what their privacy should be. They don't care about privacy.
No, I mean, listen, I had to download the stupid Facebook Messenger thing, something I avoided because I didn't want to give them certain access to certain things.
Right.
But then Facebook said, well, enough people aren't using our Messenger app.
Wonder why.
I guess we're just going to have to make sure they can't check their messages unless they get the Messenger app.
Mm-hmm.
And I travel so much and I'm out and about so much that people contact me through there. So it's not all nonsense in Facebook.
Right.
So I had to get that. So yeah, I think I downloaded I think I have a study coming up where they showed just how involved we are with our apps.
And our technology, our handheld devices.
Yes. So Pokemon Go. Just the latest thing. I saw a story today where, if we get to it in the coming weeks, we'll do it, where they were just playing the game in places they should not play the game.
Right.
Very disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, I like the juxtaposition of you know, things where they're not supposed to be. I like the irony, but I don't think that it entitles you to be disrespectful to places that really should be.
Listen, you
want to
put Pokemons in a strip club? I'm all for it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You want to put Pokemon where people are solemn? I'll leave it at that because I don't really want to get into the story.
Right.
You want to.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, listen, at this point, I'm fine if you put Pokemon in the middle of rush hour traffic.
No,
I most certainly am. Provided we can't get a ticket for hitting them and their family has to pay the expenses for the damaged bumper. I am all for it. I am all for you running into traffic in the middle of the thruway or the New Jersey Turnpike, wherever you are, on your hands, staring at your stupid device, running into traffic looking for Pokemon. I am all for it.
I'm not shocked about this. You routinely tell Joe and I to go play in traffic.
And you don't listen, but now I have a way. Now I just need to get you hooked onto this.
I'm trying to think of what you would have to put in the middle to entice Joe and
You would see imaginary cats.
I'm in. I'm totally in.
Each one you find, you're rescuing and giving a new home to.
Oh, see, I'm in. I would be wandering off into traffic for that.
With Joe, there's many options. I would probably put, with Joe, it would be a picture of his soon-to-be ex. And every time he finds one, she explodes. I would imagine that's how Joe would get home.
Now there's motivation.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah,
finding things that you'd like, gearing it specifically for you.
And enticements. Oh, sure.
So yeah, but I shan't be doing that.
No.
So, but yeah. So Pokemon goers, players, go ahead. Rush into traffic. I hope you do it on a cruise ship and jump overboard. I really do. I hope you do it at the zoo and jump into the gorilla cage, but nobody shoots the gorilla. You're in his territory and you're finding a Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no.
That's really what I hope.
Maybe that guy who jumped up and fell off of Machu Picchu, I think it was.
Isn't that one of the Pokemon?
No.
Oh, that's Pikachu. Oh,
that's
I'm sorry.
Pikachu.
No. I get my mountains and my Pokemons confused.
Yeah, it's Machu Picchu. Pikachu.
Yes.
And no, he was a tourist, and he decided that he wanted to have the ultimate selfie, and he wandered off of the areas where you're allowed to stand.
Of course.
And he jumped up in the air. And, you know, he got a minus one for his dismount because he went tumbling down the mountain.
So what, was he on the edge?
He was on the edge.
So there's no fencing or anything?
Right. Well, I never saw a picture of how it was marked.
Nobody saw that picture.
But no.
It's the ultimate selfie. You know what that is? You see what that dot is down there? That's the guy trying to take the selfie.
Yeah, that red dot. Oh, and the other dot over there, that's the other part of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are too many people on this planet. I believe that.
You know, there has to be the Darwin Awards.
Yeah, well, that's part of what we do, the biggest fool of the year.
Yeah. Yeah,
The Darwin Awards often play into that.
Mm-hmm, because it's like, thank you for thinning the herd.
Can I just say, I've been thinking about next year, April Fools.
Yeah.
And the politician thing. I mean, the politician thing. I mean, I don't want to get into all of it. But that category is going to be off the chart with the stupidity on display year.
Yeah, I'm sure it is going to be insane.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tooth and nail.
And I almost feel like you and I are going to have the same one.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like I know the one Joe's going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, I mean, again, sometimes there's politicians that do stuff we don't know about, and in the process of putting the show together, we find that one.
Right.
And it trumps the obvious ones. Mm-hmm. As it were. But right
nicely
now,
done.
With what we know, I don't think Joe has a chance in that category. I just don't, because you and I are going to agree.
Oh, I think so.
Because I think we're both going to eat.
Yeah, already, I'm planning.
The resume of work.
The body of work,
yes, the body of work since April 2nd up until now. And I know who Joe, the obvious one who Joe would go with. I know she's got stuff in her ledger, too. So yeah. I know it's going to be Spirited.
Oh, you think?
That's why I really hope I can find somebody that nobody knows about.
I know. Like somebody else. But you know
but
what?
It's just such an overwhelming body of work.
Yeah, it really is. When you go all out like that, it's really hard to
beat that record. I like the dedication to wanting to be on the list.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we could do a couple things or one thing or a handful of things, but just to hammer it in, day, I like that. I respect that.
Well, I think that's the power of Twitter. It allows people to say stupid things every day.
It's not just Twitter. I mean, it's Prescott. It's all the time.
Everywhere.
It's airplanes for Joe. But I think you would have to split that up.
Yeah.
I don't want to make Joe's case now.
No, but I mean...
But like if you were to do stupid stuff, I would say, assuming he would do Hillary, I think you would have to put Bill on the airplane under Bill's own category of politics. I don't think that would go under the Hillary category.
Yeah, when you're stupid even on airplane tarmacs, yeah. You know, like every place.
Yeah. I actually think Joe would have a tougher time because a lot of the stupid shit she's done is just getting reported now.
Yes.
But she'd actually done the stupid shit before.
Right. So that would be out of the category.
Right.
Yeah, so we're going to have to play very hard, you know, particular.
And our celebrity has now moved into politician status.
Yes.
Because, you know, he's won stuff. That was what I was saying. You got to win something.
Yeah.
You can't just run. You got to win something. He's won something. So,
yeah.
So I look forward to that. I really should be taking notes because there's no way one article will be able to encapsulate this body of work.
Actually, that's a good idea because it's like planning ahead for those. You know, if you're lucky, sometimes we stumble into the same portal of bad dads and, you know, horrific mothers for our
not as much
categories.
As you would think, though.
No, we seem, well, because there are so many to choose from.
But I always have a hard time finding those.
No, I do, too, because
I see them throughout the course of the year.
Right.
But I don't write them down.
I know, and that's, I think, the mistake that we're making.
And then
I
lose them.
I think that we have
and
to save
them. And then it's that frantic
them. Search at the end.
Yeah.
And then you're finding stuff that's like I'm looking up Google terms and I'm finding things that's not on topic at all, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then I fall into the wormhole and I start reading all this crazy stuff, but it's not helping me put together my case, you know? But I think that...
I almost feel like for...
keeping a file.
I almost feel for the political thing, I need like a filing cabinet and I got to start now.
Yeah. Plan ahead.
Then again, you know, if it all works out for me, go, well, how stupid was it? But I'll worry about that when the time comes.
Yeah, it's like, right, but it's then you can go through the tick file and say,
I think the argument would be, despite all this, still one, which is very, very possible.
No, it's like, if you look through your file, you go, oh, there's a ripe one. I forgot about that.
Oh, so. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
There's just so much stuff.
Yeah, and it's really good if you think about it as you're going along instead of like trying
to find
it at
the end.
It's
just common sense stuff.
Remember everything.
It's just common sense. You go, why would you do that? Why would you say this?
Well, I love reading things like Rolling Stone has a feature where they have a timeline, and they have from I don't remember what the timeline is. It a month? Is it a year? Whatever. But they'll have different events that happen during the year, and it goes from, you know, laudable things to the most despicable, disgusting things that happened or people did or said. And it's a great timeline. And you forget about half of the nonsense that went on during an entire year.
You do.
And it's great to read that all in one fell swoop. You're like, all that shit happened this year?
That's why all those countdown shows that they put at the end of the year are so popular.
Are great, yes.
I don't know if they're great, but they're popular.
Oh, I eat them up.
Of course you do.
I love that.
So what's going on?
Well, a lot is going on with me. I had one of the busiest weeks ever. I changed jobs. The day job, I went from finishing up some stuff at the old place at the same time that I started the new place.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two Wynwood shows to go to in the same
two
week.
Two Wynwood shows?
Yes!
You poor thing.
I know.
The struggle is real.
Well, the struggle was real at the first one because...
Was this at Beth El?
What? No.
The Orthodox Jewish concert venue, as it were.
Well, you know what? While you're driving around the neighborhood, there are a ton of Hasidim up there. So,
is there?
Yeah. Yes.
I don't go there.
It was amazing because we were driving down one
It was
street.
Like a parade of Jews.
It literally was.
Everybody
it's
loves
like
a Jew
you
parade.
Were there.
No, well, you know why? Because they go up there for the camp. They go up
they go
there
for the camps.
They get the bungalows up there. That's where they go for the summer.
Yep. And literally, you know, Joe and I are always talking about trying not to kill the Hasidim boys that walk on the side of this one road.
Yeah,
we're
Joe brings it
show.
Up at random times where we look puzzled, but then I have to think back that we talked about it a year and a half ago. But yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah, I mean, it's frightening because a lot of the times they're wearing complete black and you could just barely see them until you're right on top of them.
Jews wear reflectors.
And some of them do.
They do. They're smart. They don't want to die.
The smart ones are wearing the reflectors. And then there's like two guys that are walking along wearing total black and I'm like, ah, because I'm right on top of them.
Then hit him.
Before I see them.
Hit him.
I don't want to hit them.
Sure,
I'm trying desperately to avoid Hasidim and deer when I leave here.
Can you just imagine that you hit Hasidim? Because I know when you hit deer, because it's happened to me, the fur gets all over the bumper and everything. Can you do that? You hit a Hasidic Jew, all of a sudden there's curlicues on the front
prayer
bumper.
Prayer scarf all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't want that. No. I don't want that.
Unless they're playing Pokemon. If they're playing Pokemon Go, hit the Jews.
Oh my,
it's the rules.
God.
Jews are playing Pokemon Go, hit them.
How would you know?
If they're playing, well, they wouldn't be playing on the Sabbath.
Right. No.
But if they're looking all around in the middle of traffic.
Jumping out and trying to, like, grab something that's not there.
That might be a strip club with them. But
I think that that's part of the whole, I was listening to the radio, and they're saying that there's, in Bed-Stuyvesant, there's literally a plethora of people were poisoned by some new street drug called K2. It's mm-hmm. also called Spice. And apparently you smoke it, but all these people got sick off of it, and people were lying on the ground. They're like, are they stoned or dead? We don't know. Let's bring them to the hospital.
You know, there's a story I don't care about. I don't care. You're smoking drugs. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. You're thinning. I don't know what this is, but I'll put it in my body. Thinning the herd. I don't care. I don't. We have too many people.
So anything that'll take out the dumb ones, good.
Yeah, well, you know that's a pet peeve of mine. I hate stupidity.
I know.
So?
I don't want to see people die, but I do.
No, I don't want to witness it. I don't want to see it. That could ruin my mood.
Oh, bummer.
But I don't.
Dead guy.
I don't necessarily mind that it happens.
Okay.
That's all.
Oh,
you
well.
Do stupid shit. I don't mind. Now, if it's a kid, I mind because kids don't know better.
Well, yeah, but these are
see, like when the kid got eaten. When the kid got eaten in Disney World, I felt bad. I felt bad because it was a kid.
Right.
If it was an adult that goes swimming where it says no swimming, I don't feel bad. Alligators got to eat.
Murky bottles of water. Yeah, don't go wading in there.
It's the same thing like my philosophy with the scammers. If there's obvious signs
right.
and you've been warned and you still get scammed, sometimes you root for the scammers. They got to eat too. I'm very consistent. I am an extremely consistent person.
Yeah, you're like, this is a no dumb zone.
Well, I don't know if this is, but I would like it to be. I would strive for it. I don't know if I fit that category, but I would certainly I strive to fit that category.
I try.
I do try. I try to educate
I stumble right into the dumb a lot, though.
But, you know, we all do dumb things. But if you do it onto the scale where your life might be in peril,
Yeah, you know, oops. I'm typing in the den pen, and I write, hi, Toe. I meant Tom.
From now on, he's Toe.
Toe.
He's Trucker Toe.
I'm just shortening things. It's just like, that's the kind of relationship we have. I could just shorten it
Yeah,
to
Tom
toe.
Is very hard to type. So you leave off the M. And is it, if it's just T-O, it's two.
It's two. Yep.
So it's high two. It's not toe.
High two.
You did stumble into the stupid zone.
You know what? Like I said, I had a very busy week. I'm burnt. I am so burnt. The first Wynwood shenanigans. I have to say that it was a PNC Arts Center in
Ooh.
New Jersey.
Who was he opening for?
He was opening for Steely Dan.
There's a concert I don't want to see. There is nobody on that bill I need to see.
Well, apparently, most of it was something I didn't need to see either.
Really?
Yes.
Now I am intrigued.
Yeah. Well, it was hot.
Did you get the lawn seats?
No.
Okay, good.
Lawn
seats are for the young.
The lawn seats are for the young, but that UFO-like dome that sits over most of the seating.
Oh, it was humid.
And it holds the heat and the humidity.
Don't they have fans or something?
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
So you just stew in your own juices, and you get to sniff all the juices of the people around you.
I smell weed at those places.
Oh, God, so much. So much weed.
It's the only way you can enjoy that show.
Well.
Maybe they should have some spice. End it.
Yeah. Whereas people are lying all over the place.
I can't believe Steely Dan is headlining anything.
You wouldn't think. I was not looking forward to seeing them.
So you're just going to see the short set that Wynwood gets?
Yeah.
Which is what, 30 minutes?
No, it was an hour.
Oh, so it's a co-headline thing.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, Steely Dan obviously took up a lot more of the time. And Wynwood does a solid hour, but it's just...
Now, is the audience more Dan or more Wynwood?
You know what? I think that most of the audience was there for Steely Dan,
really?
But they were pleasantly surprised by Steve because he got standing ovations throughout the set.
That's very impressive.
Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing some of my favorite people in the world, the Dominican T-shirt salesmen, were not present at this concert.
Hilariously, I thought about you at both of the shows because there were guys selling T-shirts, white dudes.
Really?
Waspy ass somebody's dad white dudes with Steely Dan rip off shirts.
Because the black man knows there's no money there. The black man knows he needs to marshal his efforts. Guns N' Roses coming up. There's a whole bit. You know, he had Garth Brooks at Yankee Stadium for a couple of nights. The black man knows that there is money to be made.
Yeah.
And then the white man opportunistic moves in.
He moved in and
was business brisk.
You know what? He was selling a lot of T-shirts.
And one guy.
The one guy. I saw one guy at both places, and they were both like, I thought almost for a second, is that the same guy?
Did you buy a shirt?
No.
Why?
I didn't want a Steely Dan shirt.
Yeah, but didn't they have like both bands on there to go?
No.
Oh, that's what they do with the
Steely
big shows.
Dan
that's
stuff.
What they do with the big
yeah,
shows.
I know.
That's what I love about them.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like a co-headlining sort of thing.
If what's his name? Wynwood is doing an hour, kind of is.
Yeah. I mean,
because Steely Dan, what Steely Dan do? An hour 15?
I didn't time them, but it was like an hour and a half at least. Mm. They have a huge band.
Do
huge,
they?
Huge, yeah. Because they have a whole horn section, three backup
don't
singers,
care.
A whole lot of
it. Don't care.
I knew a lot of the songs from the radio when I was growing up, but it was sort of like, well, why don't I just go listen to the radio? I wasn't interested in them very much.
No, but why'd you stay?
Well, I didn't.
Oh.
What happened was the first.
It was like Soul Asylum English Beats. Everybody walked out on the headliner.
Terrible.
Happens.
I unbeknownst to me, I had a raging ear infection.
That's the best way to enjoy that bill.
Yeah. So I was just, it was super duper hot. The people were walking back and forth in front of the seat to find their seats. They're like, where are we sitting? And the average age at PNC was really up there. So lost older folk wandering around in front of me.
All these shows at this point that we're going to.
They're all.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of snow.
That's
on the roof.
Why I have to go, hey, and there was a young kid singing along. That's why, because we're seeing shit that nobody cares about anymore.
I know. And the average age of the band and the audience.
I mean, you are seeing exceptionally old shit.
I am. It's beyond AARP.
Yeah.
We're into Social Security.
Because there's not even that rock element to it. You are going to an easy listening concert.
Yeah, it's all pretty jazzy rock.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. You're listening to shit that nobody with balls gives a shit about. Or stuff that I'm going to be listening to tomorrow when I go to the dentist.
Hey, there were a ton of guys there.
Of course they were.
But see, here's the thing, too.
That's not what I meant by balls.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
I didn't mean that there wouldn't be men there, but they're not. You don't wear the Wynwood T-shirt. Yeah, you're not wearing Steely Dan.
I saw lots.
Yes, you did.
Those guys, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't find them out in the wild.
No, there was nothing wild about this.
No.
Nothing wild.
No, these are, this is their gardening shirt. They will mow the lawn tomorrow.
White socks and sandals.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it was...
Perhaps even a few fanny packs, I'll hazard to guess.
It was so hot. Now, one of the things that I thought that you would not enjoy, out of all the things you wouldn't have enjoyed, one of the things you really wouldn't have enjoyed was the attire on the older set in the heat. This was, you don't really, and I'm speaking as a middle-aged woman,
mm-hmm.
You don't really want to see this crowd in the least amount of clothing they think they can get away with in public. This was not pretty.
Mm. Not yoga pant weather, so we're seeing everything at its worst.
There's lots of...
I bet you saw a lot of jean shorts.
Jean shorts, spider veins...
Bruises. A lot of bruising.
lots of saggy boobs in tank tops they should not be wearing.
Boobs that are falling out the armpits. My favorite.
I saw this one orange tank top coming at me up the stairs, and I went, ah! Yeah.
Did you think it was Trump? The Donald's here! The Donald's here! Oh, no.
No.
Wrong orange.
It was like, one of these things is not like the other. That's the first thing that I thought when I saw this orange tank top coming at me.
I don't, okay.
It was a female.
All right, well.
Yeah, it was.
Those are your people.
It was not good.
These are your people.
Yeah, poor, apparently.
I don't even, I am not that old yet. Nor that lame yet. Yet.
Well, you know, I'll admit the lame part. I totally get that. But at one point, after roasting everything that we had off, my friend and I said, okay, we went to the ladies' room. And then when we came back, once we got out from under that spaceship from hell, the heat it was holding in there, we just sat by the vendor area where a breeze was blowing a little bit so we could just breathe.
That's crazy, yeah.
And then we realized, yeah, not so into this. So we actually went back to our car and finished with our tailgate party by ourselves, and we left before everybody else got out.
That's just smart. But something an old person would do. I don't like this. Let's beat the traffic.
Yeah, you know what? And I never leave like that. I never do that.
Yeah, all right. That's a lot of money to see Wynwood. But all right. So that was night one.
Yes.
Of breaking Wynwood Palooza.
The second one was up at Temple Beth El.
Temple
Woods.
Beth El. And, separate seating, I assume.
Of course. And it was, they had a weather event. So when we got up there, I mean, first of all, there's quite a walk from where you're allowed to park to where you're supposed to sit.
That's why you got to get one of them handicapped up placards.
Yeah, you know, it's almost time.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is premium parking, but I wasn't aware of that at the time that I bought it. So that's a little bit closer, but you really do go. And I did enjoy, even though it wasn't pleasant being in it, but I did enjoy the irony that we were in the area of Woodstock and it rained like hell and we were muddy when we went home.
When I think Woodstock, I think Wynwood.
Well, he wasn't there.
Oh, I thought that was the second Wynwood concert.
Yeah, well, he wasn't at the original Woodstock.
No,
Woodstock,
I know.
I meant. I thought that's what you were saying. Sorry.
No, no, I was not.
Okay, sorry. But it was so, the storm coming up was so frightening, and they showed on the radar that there were lightning strikes all around the little mountain that we were on. They herded us into a museum and made us stand there for a long time.
You know it's a good concert when you're in a museum.
They made us stay there, and they would yell at anybody that opened the doors to try to go out for a smoke.
Was there
or
a
anything.
Tornado warning?
No, it was lightning strikes.
Was this before the show?
Yeah. Yeah, so there was even danger that the show wouldn't happen.
Oh, we should have been so lucky.
We should have
been. When they opened up the MetLife Stadium, the new Giant Stadium, I saw Bon Jovi. He was opening it up on one of the nights. And the opening act didn't even go on because it was delayed so long because of weather.
Oh.
That's the danger.
Well, that was the danger.
I think it was Gavin McGraw.
Gavin McGraw?
Something like that. I think that's
Tim McGraw.
No.
Gavin McGraw?
Something like that.
Is this a person? I have no idea.
No, it's a fucking singing dog, you asshole. Speaking of, hi, Joe.
Oh.
Good boy.
So my friend and I were worried, like, don't tell me we drove all the fucking way up here.
No, I'm going to get my ass struck by lightning.
Where
was this?
We were at Bethel Woods.
Okay.
Temple Bethel Woods.
Right.
And they were afraid that the storm that was coming in was... strikes all around the mountain.
Was this
were
the
on
same concert,
of.
Though? Was this Wynwood and Steely Dan?
Yeah, yeah. So
so you went to the same show twice where you had no interest in seeing the headliner twice.
Yeah, but I really wanted to see Steve again, and I'm glad I did. I had a much
better
time.
It doesn't fucking change night to night.
Well, it does, because
does
it's
it?
Not... Well, it, I mean... the
Still
the,
Milk Toast White music.
But the
Steely Dan? Steely Dan is incredible. What's the matter with you? They're great. Well, you know what? Not you so much, but you. No, I don't have a...
Not your kind.
No, well...
This isn't for you.
No, well, because the bone is not to pick with you. The bone is to pick with you. How could you not like Steely Dan?
Well, you know, I liked them enough, but...
Not what she said on the first show. She walked out, Joe.
Once again, rarity, we agree. All right.
No,
you're ruining your easy listening kind. You're a disgrace.
The first show.
Do you know how many times they've played elevator music and it's for you and your kind?
For
and you
me?
Yes.
Not for me.
Yes. You old? You're an oldster.
Well, here was the thing. Is the first one, it was so hot and I was so miserable because I had this raging ear infection. And I didn't know what was wrong, but I was in a lot of pain. And I just was very unhappy. And my friend was like, yeah, I'm not so into this. We can go. And we just sat in the parking lot mm-hmm. by the car and away from all these friggin' people. And
I hate when they come out to concerts.
And we drank
yeah,
and we ate snacks.
There's nobody there.
Well, when you see Wynwood, there isn't.
No, Wynwood's good, too.
Yeah, no. And sure but is. Then we went and saw the show. Finally, after the weather event, we went and saw the show at Bethel Woods. What a stage and the lighting and the sound. What a show that was. Mm. That
you like? That's a good venue?
That was a great venue.
And it was awesome. it was just Steely Dan and Steve Winwood.
Yeah, yeah.
How many old white guys you want them to dig up for an event?
Well, you figure, you know, and you're right, because you would figure something like that, there would be more bands.
Well, that's what I said to you Pip. I was surprised Steely Dan was. I didn't think Steely Dan was still the type of band that would headline anything like that.
But you want to know something? Like how many seat venue is this?
Oh,
well, she
I
also
don't,
saw it at PNC.
I don't know.
So this is a tour.
Do you know PNC Arts Center?
Yes,
in
yes,
Holmdel?
Yes.
Very similar size.
All right.
It's actually maybe a little bit smaller
okay,
than that.
Okay, because now PNC would be a perfect size for that.
That's a big venue, though.
But it's bigger. But there is enough of a following with Wynwood and Steely Dan where you
got
people.
I don't think so. I mean, I remember last time Wynwood was Tom Petty.
Yeah, but
the places
were
packed.
But you got to remember, you're 10 years younger than us. Okay?
No, but I don't think it would sell. But Steely Dan's not really. They're not on the radio enough.
But you got to. But Davin, you got to remember, they were a big '70s act. You're 10 years old.
Yeah, but even Def Leppard is bringing out REO, Speedwagon, and Tesla.
But the difference is that was from the '80s. Steely Dan, it was a major act in the '70s.
Yeah, but most of those people are dead, or they're not going out. It's late,
Davin.
No,
most of
those
people
are
in their '60s. Okay, realistically,
it's late. They should have a midday concert.
But not when the thing is during the weekend. If it was during the week, it was a weekend thing, right?
It was Saturday night.
And was the first time you saw him a Saturday night?
No, the first one was at PNC on a Wednesday night, which
right. a little how late was, for that show.
Right. Slow
it
down.
Was.
But how was attendance?
It was packed.
I bet they gave a lot of those tickets away. They do. They give these tickets away. They can't sell them, and they're all discounted. Now, all these bands. It's not just them. They're doing it for all these concerts. Unless it's, I bet you on the Guns N' Roses second show, mm-hmm. it's not going to get sold out. You're going to see stuff cheaply discounted or give it away. And they're doing it because
nobody's going.
It's a major event. Paul yeah. McCartney doesn't have to worry about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Def Leppard, they gave tickets away. You know, the concerts mm-hmm.
Def Leppard, Joe Elliott's calling my house. Jeff's calling the phone. We're in town, you know. Does Johnny want us to open for you guys?
He knows where his bread's buttered.
Yeah, tell Johnny we're open for you, mates.
He knows you still might show up.
Yeah, because he does. Yeah, yeah. Like, let's see, mates. Let's see what we got. Well, stupid Lob's coming and seeing us, and we can fleece him.
Yeah, I got no interest in seeing the Def Leppard again. I mean, I got their albums. I listen to them on the radio. I don't have an interest in seeing that again.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know. That's very admirable that you would see Wynwood twice on the same concert like that.
I made a pact with him. He does not know about this pact, but I made a pact with him.
Shows a lot of things he doesn't know about you.
He knows too much already. As long as one of us is able to drag our sorry asses out and either do a show or watch a show, I'm going. Because I don't know when the guy's going to die. I'm going to go to
the
show.
That's how we approach all the musicians. We've talked about that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I don't know where you jumped in. Yeah, but you know, in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. Joe Perry dropped doing us all the time. Don't you think I'm going to see every area?
Yeah,
right,
so you can't even go, really, really? Your guy almost didn't make it to a first song. So
no. Terrible.
Got you.
No, he wasn't feeling well.
Don't get me wrong. Major Aerosmith fan too, but you
no,
know.
You're not. You are
absolutely.
Then why haven't you ever gone when we go?
Because I've been busy. I feel like coming out here. You know, it's but
they're not playing my house. I wish they
I
would.
I understand. No, but I'm a major. But I like the. I don't know. I'm the old. I like rocks. Get Your Wings. Not the new shit's incredible too. Don't get me wrong. But like I'm.
But you better catch him on this last tour.
I know. And you want to know something? You know. Well, you know this time. And I actually thought about when Eddie Trunk was saying these guys are going to go out. one more time.
One more time, my ass. Well, they're going out many more times.
Well, let's see how Joe Perry's feeling, you know?
They'll replace Joe Perry, too. Don't you worry. Do you think they're going to stop?
Yeah, they'll get the lead guitar player in Stone Temple Pilots. You
know? Yeah. I heard somebody say Axl Rose will fill in.
Yeah.
Trucker Tom said, I was going to blame Davin for Joe Perry dropping in New York. Was your fault.
I know. I didn't go. I wanted to see the Hollywood Vampires. I'd like to see the band.
Yeah.
You know, they got a lot. They got Matt Sorum. They got Alice Cooper. They got Johnny Depp is supposedly a really good guitarist. I'd like to see the band. I just haven't had a chance.
My buddy that used to play with us when the band had Now or Never, Matt Powers, is actually his band opened up for
those
guys.
By the way, is the same thing all these bands are thinking about when they decide whether to tour or not.
Yeah.
Now or Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my buddy Matt was playing. Was in one of the opening acts drums. So, which is cool.
Oh, that's neat.
That's cool.
Lisa said, 2016 has taken so many artists, you have to see them when you can.
Look at Joe Perry. I'm not going quietly into the good night.
Listen, I laid out $300 for Iron Maiden because Bruce Dickinson is in his early 60s, or late 50s, early 60s, just beat cancer. Mentioned in an interview. Now, they're going out, and they're only playing to several U.S. dates.
Right.
Mentioned in an article that, you know, he goes, I'll go out. I'm feeling good. You know, we're going to go out. We're going to do this tour. He goes, and we'll see what happens.
Good.
And it's 2 years between when they come around again. So it's like, I'm like, you know what? I'm a Maiden fan. I love the new album. 300. All right, you got me.
Yep.
You got
a lot
me.
Of yep. money.
I know. Yep. You want it? And you know me. I'm a cheapskate. But, you know, it's like, you got me. You know what? You got me.
Right.
Who knows when they're coming back? Who knows if they're coming back?
Right.
You know?
So
at least all of them.
Yeah.
When you see the older acts that you like, I just say, shut up and take my money.
I got to start getting into I got to start supporting some of the younger acts.
Baby metal.
No.
Stop it. What's the matter with you?
That's baby your job, Joe, no, apparently.
You'll be the pedophile of the
you
group.
Got Hailstorm. Hailstorm is really
good. Yeah, but I don't need to pay to see them. That's the problem. I don't need to pay to see them. Like,
what, are you going
to
hop the fence?
No, but I mean, because ticket prices are so expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not compelled to pay a lot of money to see these bands. Like, I like enough of Pink stuff.
Mm.
I like Katy Perry. And I know you're going to get a whole show.
Right.
But I'm still not compelled to see him. I probably should go see Pink because I think that'd be a really good show.
I would like to go see Pink.
But well, I just feel like I'll be really creepy.
if they come around, I'll go with you.
That doesn't
like
help. It doesn't help. You're older than me. I mean, unless my daughter comes with us, still creepy.
As the excuse.
Yeah. Shut up, honey. Play with the iPad.
Yeah, yeah. but just go, yay, and look interested. Well, you know,
you don't even, I'll get you ice cream. Daddy's listening to Katie now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't say Katy Perry. No,
Pink. You know, I think she's a good artist.
Yeah, I do too.
But again, I'm not compelled. I don't know why, because it's not the music I grew up with.
Well,
that's why.
Yeah, that also. Plus, you know, it like I said, it depends how bad you want to go see the band. And when Rush, I saw Rush three years ago. And it was a really really great show. I had a really great show, a really great seats. Rush came around last year. And I was trying to get tickets, and I really dragged my feet about it. And, you know, they always give you a critique of the seats you're going to get.
Right.
So the seats that were available, if you like Rush and Beams, this is available for $95. You know?
It's steel girders in your face.
So what I decided was, I go, you want to know something? Beams. The last Rush concert was so good that I go, if I never see him again, this is the memory I have. Of such a fun, and I actually filmed some of it on my phone, my old phone and stuff like that. So, you know, so be it. So, you know, and like I said, Def Leppard comes around sniffing for cash every year. You know, who knows?
They certainly, they don't, every year they come around.
Oh, yeah, no, they'll make no bones about it. They got their kids going to college. They got to pay the bills somehow. So
go away, Def Leppard. Somebody put you to sleep.
Yeah.
Take a couple of years off. Let us miss you.
But even though Vivian Campbell is having his bouts with cancer.
He's
and
not
stuff
an
like
original.
That.
He can die. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, but still, you know, who knows?
I'm sorry, who's Vivian Campbell?
The guitar player.
Who replaced the other guy who died?
And he used to be the guitar player in Dio and stuff like that. So,
But
so, you know, these guys are getting older and, you know, who knows how long they can go out on the road. Because going out on the road is grueling.
Yes.
You know
what
I mean? Like, even when we do, you know, stand up, but I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, we're singing for, you know, 3 hours straight or playing.
They're not singing for 3 hours straight.
Well, you know.
We don't have background tracks doing our jokes for us. There's no one filling in punchlines for us while we take a gulp of water.
Yeah. But still, you know, it's a lot of traveling knocks the shit out of you. And as you get older,
I'll travel the way they do.
You know, so I think traveling,
it's still hard,
but it beats the hell of driving 13 hours in a fucking small car and then hopping on stage. I'll deal with the private jet. I'll be okay, Joe. I'll make it work. Let's see fucking Joe Elliott do it my way. Let's switch for a day. And we'll switch merch sales, too.
Yeah, there you go.
There I am buying one of your t-shirts for $75.
Not a bad idea. You would.
All
I got to do is stencil Def Leppard on a Cinco de Caco shirt and you're in.
No, all you got to do is bring me to a venue that I think's inside, but it's outside and it's cold and rainy and I have to buy the damn thing because I'm going to freeze to death
Oh, yeah. Well, that was pretty much where things were looking when we were up in Woodstock because when they herded us into the museum to keep us from being, you know, fried on the mountain by lightning, there was a lot of stuff to buy in there, and I think people are going, oh, it's going to get cold. I'll get a sweater. And then it was still hot.
Well, one of my lead singers in my band, girl Nicole, she went up to see this blues, I think Green, I forgot what it was called, but Tedeschi Trucks was playing, a couple of other people, a lot of great blues, and she's a phenomenal singer. And she went to go see all these great singers, and she was telling us last night, she goes, it rained all day. She's mud.
It's fun
you
when
know?
You're young.
Yeah.
It was
better pray for nice weather for McCartney and Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm driving across the damn country to see Paul McCartney.
Where are you going?
I'm coming back from Indiana to catch that concert at night.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, no traffic, better be nice fucking weather.
It better be.
I don't give a shit. He's an old Beatle. It's about me. Guns N' Roses, we might have an overhang. I'm not sure. That's cool. That's sure. So, it was a good concert.
Yeah, I mean, the second one was really good. My friend and I went to hang out with the sax player from Winwood's band during Steely Dan. So we sort of listened
even
to
they
the
don't
show.
Want to listen to this shit.
We listened to the shit.
Well, fucking respect.
He's heard it so many times. So we went off and
because he's in the band.
Yeah, and because it's Steely Dan, everybody there has heard it so many times.
No. He's the sax player for Winwood's
band. I know, but he's touring.
Steely Dan
and
was
all the
playing.
Yeah, I know, obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, he's heard it how many times?
A fucking
it's
creep.
The same show, you
what
know?
Creep.
So we hung out and we talked to him. We hadn't seen him for a year. So it was like.
Oh. Catching up, huh?
Yes,
a little reunion.
Yes,
if you're friends
up.
With all these guys, why don't they just fucking give you tickets?
Well, you know, sometimes they can and sometimes they can't.
Yeah, but you only get an allotment of tickets. Like, you only get an allotment of tickets when you go out to do
it. I'm sure the allotment was quite large for that tour.
I don't know.
Listen, we've all been where the club goes, listen, if you go around town, you meet people, hand out some tickets. We've all been on that show, too.
Yeah, but I don't know how, you know, I don't know, like a venue like that, I don't know how big they want to paper the show, you know?
Yeah.
They paper the show. They give it to the radio stations.
Yeah.
You know, Eddie Trunk has papered shows.
Oh, of course, yeah. You even got tickets.
Yeah,
that's
why I got Soul Asylum tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, this place was full of olds, and they had money to burn, and they...
Well, old people do have money to burn.
They
and
do.
To keep them
that's
warm
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Is that the place was packed.
Yeah.
And people waited out in the rain to get in there.
And they're all going to have pneumonia and die.
And perhaps.
Probably one or two.
We saw a couple people that were so drunk that their friends were holding them on both ends. And it's like, that's not a cute look anymore.
You know what? In a
that.
Show like that, they could either be drunk or have low blood sugar. You
yeah.
know,
it's just, I know. It could be a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's like when I got...
Somebody needs a nectarine.
Let me tell you something. When I went to the Maiden the last time, and I had the stomach flu, and I went anyway, and I had a Leah, and I'm like, I'm actually hanging over a railing because I am just so sick with this stomach flu, and people are looking at me like, look at the old man tripping. You know?
So you gotta do
tripping, I'm fucking
sick. See, when I get sick at a concert, I got sick at an Aerosmith concert. You sleep through it. I slept through an Aerosmith concert.
Because you got drunk?
No, I was sick.
Oh, really?
I was sick. I was sick. I was awake for Jackal. Which, if you're going to be awake for Jackal or Aerosmith, clearly Jackal's what you want to be awake for. And me and my friend Scott, who you met, we both somehow got sick making out. I don't know what it was. But, yeah, we both, like, slept through the concert. We felt like shit. And his sister, because we went with his sister, still teases us about that. But we all agree we're going to see Aerosmith next time.
I can't even go for you because you got the were you sick before you went or you suddenly felt sick there?
No, I got sick there, and this is the one. The girl called me up, wanted to lose her virginity to me, and I'm like, I'm tired. That was that night.
All the nights to call.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did you take a rain check?
And I broke up with her
what
a couple
do you do
days.
With Thursday?
I
you
broke
know?
Up with her a couple days later. I didn't want her to lose it to me.
Right. Yeah.
You don't need, you know. But I was. If you don't care enough. You don't want that guy. And it turns out the next guy she dated, she lost it very quickly. So it had nothing to do with me. She just felt like it needs to go.
It's time.
This
an expiration date on her hymen.
It's going to spoil. Let's put some stuff in here pronto.
She didn't want to lose her virginity. No. She wanted to ditch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I had realized that it wasn't about being the one, but the one right now, I might have, you know, I might have held on a little longer.
Right, right.
But I was
negotiating.
This was also when I was younger and nicer.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Because I was worried about emotion and people getting attacked. Now.
Yeah, oh, that's done.
Take jaded prick me? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're doing it. No, I'm still sick. I still slept through Aerosmith. Call me tomorrow. We're doing it. Dumping you 3 days later. 3 days later. That's nice.
How'd you know?
I'll take her out. You know, yeah. We'll have a couple of good times. Yeah. Then maybe orchestrate a fight.
I know that's how it's done.
They had a great night. They're driving home. You know, and he's like, I'm sick of your shit, bitch. What are you talking about?
Right?
Yeah, that was pretty much. You see a flaw in that plan?
Just the insanity
of it.
I know.
This was a friend
in
a 22-year-old
mind. Yeah, how old were you?
Yep.
I was in college.
Yeah, 22-year-old mind. Yep. Yeah, the insane.
I don't even know if I wasn't even 22.
But that's when you do shit like
yeah.
that when you're 22.
Yeah, I mean, this was like a friend of my ex
yeah.
who she wanted to set me up with, but then when it took off, she was not pleased that she set us up. Like, that bit her in the ass.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, I just remember we would do stuff, but she was very selfish in that way. I'll leave it at that. So there was not great motivation on me. Because I guess even as a young me, I was kind of lazy. I don't want to fucking do all the work.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure that was in the back of my mind somewhere. You're just going to lay here like a lummox? A word I wasn't even using like I do now because I didn't know you at the time.
I had this crazy thought. It was like an old married. Can you imagine like an old married couple deciding they're going to have a threesome? And it's just like their issues. And it's like, come on, baby, rub my tit. Can't you see I'm fingering somebody? Leave me alone.
You never listen to me when I talk to you.
I'm fingering somebody. Can't you see I'm fingering somebody? Grab your own tit.
Oh, my God.
So there'd be three people there?
Yeah, it was like a threesome with an old married couple. You know, they always argue.
And they're arguing.
They bring something, but they're still arguing, you know? You know, it's like, come on, Harold, rub my breast. Can't you see I'm fingering somebody?
You
know.
You never listen to me. Well, it's I've like got thighs around my ears right now.
I got
now.
Thighs around my ears. I'm not a miracle worker.
You are amazing.
Grab my prick. Come on. Just grab the thing. I got to keep do something here.
Only you could ruin a menage a trois. only you could do that. I don't even want one now. You've ruined it. The image stinks. Just a bunch of nagging and barely fucking.
Yeah.
You ruined it.
That was my marriage for 19 years.
Yeah, but there was nobody else.
That's true.
Yeah. It was just the two of you hating each other and not yeah. fucking. You're bringing other people into like be part of the hating.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Let's bring in a marriage counselor, and better yet, let's bring in Roxanne.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
You ruined it.
Sorry.
And the hate sex wasn't even good, was it?
Yeah.
He punished his cock.
There you go. Oh, I'll have to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for ruining that. That shan't be happening.
Sorry.
Don't want to get into this. Not. I don't know. You guys, did you guys see the OJ documentary?
No.
Heard about it though.
Oh my God, it is so good.
Is it?
And it's on free cable, so you can watch it.
Oh really? Which channel?
Good.
It's on ESPN. Now you gotta plan out a block of time for it. It's like a 6-hour thing, so you're gonna have to or 7-hour thing. Yeah, you can't watch it all at once. They break it up into parts.
Okay.
It's like an hour and a half each. And
wow.
They break it up into five parts.
Oh, that sounds very interesting. Did you watch the whole thing?
No, I brought it up because I didn't watch it.
I was turning the channel.
I just wanted to know what your impressions were of it.
Flip to the Yankee game. I was wondering if you guys, so maybe I'll go back to the fucking thing.
This is where I do recommendations for television shows. This is that segment.
Yeah. Hey, you ever see that? I turned the channel. Is it any good? I might check the thing out on Wednesday. You
this
know?
Is something I thought I would ask on the air yeah. instead of off the air, by the way. Yeah, that's the way. You got it figured out.
Oh, God.
You know how this works.
All right. My ass is chapped enough.
Yeah, enjoy your barrel.
Yeah, really. We haven't rolled out the barrel for a while.
Well, you just you dusted off the cobwebs and planted your ass in there, didn't you?
I did.
So, were you guys into the OG? You guys were a little older. This happened in 94.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
No,
how could you not? How could you not?
Well, I mean, I was in college, but I wasn't really into it. Oh. I remember everybody else was, though.
Yeah.
I remember it was glued to. You got to remember, like, you probably remember OJ's the great football player.
Yeah.
I remember OJ as Nordberg from, like, I think that was the guy's name,
right,
from Naked
right, right.
Gun.
So do you.
I was vaguely aware.
So you didn't realize, so as the icon he was.
Right.
The hero, the right. guy in the Hertz commercials.
I remember
really
the Hertz commercials.
Right, but really didn't settle, you know, really wasn't influential on you as it was to Pippen.
Right, because right.
Right,
you
because
know,
it was unbelievable. I'm sorry.
He was a huge football player in the 70s.
But, yeah. But the whole thing, Dav, was it was inconceivable. This guy was Mr. America, an athlete. It was inconceivable. It's almost
right.
like with Cosby.
That
yeah, he had
yeah.
that wholesome attitude.
Well, they talk about that.
Yeah, that
and
was,
they,
yeah, I'm sorry.
They talk about how OJ really transcended race.
Yes.
He did.
And like to the part where he was like kind of separate from the black community.
Everybody loved him.
Yes. And it was. And they talk about how Hertz, like, if you, I don't know if you remember the commercials, but they
oh,
show the
yes.
commercials. They had, like, older white people, and they're like, oh, like, you see this black guy running through trying to get to the Hertz car, and they have older white people or white kids go, go, OJ!
Yeah.
It was all because, part of...
And Dev, through the eyes of a 12-year-old kid, he was just a hero.
Right, and then he transcended race, because he was a black kid, but he was a hero to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So they talk about that. So it's really interesting to talk about that, because I never knew how he transcended race.
Right.
You know, I never knew how he was kind of separate from the black community. It was all part of OJ's image,
yeah.
which he constructed mm-hmm. for himself mm-hmm. and had people help with. But they also showed, and like the first two parts of it, they showed it a lot. And I'm sitting there watching it first go, this is kind of boring. Why are they showing this? They're just showing a lot of the violence that happened in, particularly in Los Angeles, but throughout the country at the time. A lot of the clashes between African-Americans
mm-hmm.
and the police.
Yes.
And just violent things and how the police really did target the African-American community.
No doubt.
You know, which again, I wasn't really aware of, you know, and they talk about how the justice system failed, how like this Korean woman shot this like black girl in the back of the head because the black girl came in to buy something at her convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
Young girl, 13, I think. And I guess the Korean woman started fighting with her and accusing her of stuff. So the black girl starts walking away and they show the tape of it. And the
she
Korean
shot her in the back of the head.
Yes,
oh.
It was like a huge thing, and
I don't remember that.
And she got community service.
Oh, that's outrageous!
Right. So you have this whole backdrop.
Yeah.
Of how black people in this area, but throughout the country,
yes,
feel like the police and the justice system isn't working for them.
Right.
Which I think adds a lot of context to what's going on now. People like to say, well, we have a black president. There's no more segregation. The LAPD reformed, which they did. The
yeah.
LAPD did reform.
Yeah.
But and I was like, well, people are still walking around from that time.
Yeah.
You know, people still remember that. People had kids, and they taught their kids, and, you know, they still... So I think it gives a lot of context
yes.
to what's going on. So they go through all that, which is fascinating, because then you have OJ, and you have such a preponderance of evidence. And again, I was not one of these people that was watching the trial at the time. You guys probably remember the trial
yeah.
a lot
yeah.
more. I was in college. Yeah. I was like a sophomore in college. I, you know, I was trying to get my class.
Right, right.
And he wasn't what... He didn't mean as much to me as he did to so many other
right,
people.
Right,
because right. it was inconceivable to even think this.
So then what they do, what Johnny Cochran does is, they kind of like mold OJ, they kind of transform his image to be embraced by the black community.
Because
he had never really been, I mean, they liked OJ, but he'd never been a black hero before.
Right,
not like
not
a
so much.
Not like a Jim Brown. Or a Muhammad Ali. And,
right.
again, both of those guys were loved, too.
Also.
But Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown, you saw color.
Was more represented in the community, in the
right.
African-American
right.
community.
And they talk about how those guys were active for black causes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. yeah.
And O.J. Simpson purposely did not want to be, like, wanted to separate himself from that. So they talk about that.
He wanted to marry the white blonde girl and be part of
he was married to a black
this,
woman. He was married
he
to
He was, previously.
Marguerite.
But then, you know, right. what he wanted to do is have the trophy wife and live in an upscale community. And he didn't completely separate himself from the black community, but he really wanted what at the time was seen as these are the trappings of wealth.
I shouldn't say all of his friends. I mean, because he had the friends that he grew up with, like Al Cowlings. But a lot of his friends that he encountered later on were white men.
Yeah.
So then come the time, and again, you really have to see, I'm not doing it justice. So then comes the time of the trial,
yeah.
and Johnny Cochran and this brilliant team of defense attorneys, they redo everything. To the point where Judge Ito lets the the jurors into the house, into OJ's house, and they're rocking it. And they take off all the pictures of OJ with, like, the white people, and also there's all these pictures of OJ with black people.
Yes.
And they're introducing race. And so the prosecutor's bringing Chris Darden, who is the African-American prosecutor.
Right.
And the black people felt like, well, they're just trying to throw this to us like he's an Uncle Tom. So all this race is implemented into it.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, and again, I wasn't paying attention to it, so I just look at, well, the preponderance of the evidence. How could they blow it and everything?
Right.
So, but there's all this race in there. And then what happens is they have two jurors on this from the jury, and basically they admit that OJ getting off was payback.
Yep.
OJ getting off was payback for all the injustice that they rightly felt and experienced
against their community.
Yeah, and that was their payback. And then they fast forward to because OJ's in jail now. Because, you know, for armed robbery, he's trying to get back his stuff. They go into all that and kidnapping because I think he said nobody move.
Yeah.
So on the verdict for that, of the second trial that sends OJ to jail, it was the day he was acquitted on the first one. So it's the anniversary of that. And he lost his civil suit, remember, against the Goldmans.
Yes.
And it was for $33 million, and he never paid that.
Right.
Because he was hiding his money and doing all this other stuff.
Right.
And they sentence him to 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now the black community, and I could see that too, goes, well, this is the white man getting payback for OJ walking all those years ago. So I just think it's kind of interesting in context of everything that we're doing, the problems with race, the police thing, the justice system. You know, you see things on TV, you know,
but, you know, see, sometimes the way things are portrayed, did they go into Cato Kaelin much?
A little bit.
Oh, Tom just asked about this.
Yeah, because he was actually at Opie and Anthony. I was on the show that day and met him, and when he tells his story, and he's in person, I'm not reading a book. It's him sitting there telling his story, and he went.
Lovely hair, by the way.
Yeah, explain everything. Boy, they threw him behind the bus. They made him. He is a very articulate, smart person.
He came off like an idiot.
But
they didn't. They didn't do a lot about him on the documentary.
But the funny thing is, I always thought the same thing till I met the man, saw the man interviewed. You know.
Now, who made him look like an idiot? Prosecution or?
I would think the media did, and the prosecution did.
Well, because the defense ruined Mark Furman. They ruined him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they said, well, here's the tape of him being a racist. And he said, I never said the word nigger. And, right. Well, you know, here's hours of tape of you saying the word nigger and talking about killing black people.
Yeah,
and this is a cop. What are you going to do? No, come on now.
I didn't mean it. You know I'm kidding. Come on.
Actually, I know. But anyway. But it's just really interesting to see. To me, it helps give me context to what's going on now.
Yeah.
Because people like to say, well, we have a black president, and, you know, and we've come a long way. But there were still these things, and they happened in our lifetime.
Yeah.
This shit was happening in the 90s. We were all walking around everything. And the police were corrupt in the 70s. Rodney King happened in the 90s.
Right.
And those guys walked.
Yeah.
Those guys, and we all saw that footage.
Everybody saw what happened.
And so now you see with the media, and I'll talk about a little bit more later on the next portion of the show. But you see with the media how they replay, and you can pick sides. You know, whatever, the video. But either way, you see black people getting killed.
Yeah.
Whoever is at fault, I'm not going to get into that, you know. But you see black people getting killed. So it's the same thing. So it brings up all these memories.
Yeah.
So they felt, so their opinion or the way they were going within the movie felt that they had to acquit him or they would be discord in the black community in L.A.?
No, wasn't. I mean, this is from the jurors. I mean, I really don't know what the point of view was of the movie. I try to think. I think they tried to lay it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the jurors, two of the jurors pretty much said this was payback. And then there was another, the Marsha Clark, who is one of the prosecutors, said, you know, this mild-mannered African-American man, when the verdict came out on the jury,
right,
put his hand up as a Black Panther.
Yes.
He was a Black Panther, and they never knew.
Right.
So I just think it's kind of not right to say that race isn't an issue. Because it is. And it is on all sides. It is on O.J. walked because of race the first time.
Yes.
And O.J. probably got 33 years because of race and payback the second time.
Yes.
Because the first time, he should have gone away.
Oh,
for life.
Yeah.
And the second time, the shit he did, very stupid.
But not worthy of that sentence.
Not worthy of 33 years.
No, that was totally, okay, we didn't get him the first time, let's get him
now.
Yeah.
So, totally. And you kind of see, and we know, listen, I went to law school. You kind of like to think the courts are just, I mean, we see these police getting acquitted, and I'm not going to judge whether they should or shouldn't get acquitted. I don't know. I'm not in the case. That's why I don't judge these things. But you could certainly see why the courts are only made up of the people in the community. And we're all flawed. We all come in there with our own prejudices and flaws, whatever they are. And you are judged by a jury of your peers. So you could see why people think that there's injustice. You could understand. You know, and you see it on both sides. That's what I really liked about it.
Yeah. It's not just one-sided. It's skewed that, oh, it's all this side. But this is whenever the pendulum swings back and forth.
You could see the manipulation of the system.
All right, can you stop for one sec? Manipulation, out of curiosity, so basically the lawyers that were, the defense lawyers, you had Cochran, you had F. Lee Bailey, and you also had
Shapiro.
I'm sorry?
Shapiro. Kardashian wasn't really a lawyer in that, it was his friend.
Right, yeah. And now, you know, like I said, my mom was a lawyer, you know, so we knew these guys were the cream of the crop. Now, on the prosecution side, you had, Marsha Clark
and
Chris
Darden.
Now, what you were saying, manipulation and sensationalism, because you felt it as it was going on, that they were getting kind of caught up in the hype and the media.
Who was getting caught up?
Both Marsha Clark and Chris Darden. That the kind of, you know, they were kind of going Hollywood, you know? Did you feel that? Did you feel that way in a sense?
No, I didn't.
I did.
Not the sense I got from it. I got the sense of intense frustration from Marsha Clark.
Well, and also the fact that she was put on, like, noticed by the press every day, that they weren't necessarily only judging her by the work she was doing it. They constantly hounded her about her appearance.
They were at her
house. The way she was dressed, what her hair looked like. They made it more, in that particular part of the story, they made what she looked like more about her being a female prosecuting this than it did about anything
that she was
saying or
doing. They
didn't
really go into the female aspect. They did talk about
how her at her appearance.
They did talk about in the past how she had connected with black women jurors.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about the real struggle to find a jury for this.
Yes.
And the prosecution was not happy with the jury. But she talked about how she felt when she talked, because it was a predominantly African-American jury, that she felt the black women wouldn't even listen to her. She felt no connection that she had felt in the past. And it was when Johnny Cochran spoke to them, they lit up.
Yeah.
Again, these are all things I wasn't aware of.
Because he's charismatic.
He's also an African-American man, and he's bringing race into it and everything. And these are people that feel like they've been railroaded by the LAPD and the justice system that's let them down.
Yeah, right. But
it was a perfect storm.
But like, I'm saying,
yes, he's very charismatic.
Because let's say if Ben Carson was a lawyer, you know, they'd fall asleep. Even though, you know, we believe in you, brother. You know,
people find him charismatic. But
Johnny Cochran,
No.
Hey, I'm sorry, pal. But love him or hate him, you would just sit. You would just be sitting there riveted.
Oh yeah.
No matter what side.
They talk about his history. Remember, he had a history of fighting for black rights, of black civil rights in the courts. Mm-hmm. So he had credibility with them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he's bringing more credibility than OJ deserves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
But OJ had credibility with everybody, too, because he's OJ. Kind of like, remember, nobody thought Cosby could do this.
And I said, at the beginning of the conversation, exactly. Yeah, right. that's the way it struck Pip, and people of our generation, or you know.
So I just think
it was astounding.
You couldn't put your mind around that.
No.
And now there's this trial about something you couldn't put
and
your
they
mind
about.
It was spellbinding.
Yeah. When the verdict came out, how the black people celebrated,
right,
and the white people were crying.
Yes,
they talk again. I vaguely, this was going on in the background. I was in college. First of all, I've never been a celebrity whore. Like, it's just not something, you know, maybe if it was Don Mattingly, maybe I would pay attention because that was my guy growing up.
Right.
Maybe, but I've never been one to follow this. I never watched court TV, so I wasn't aware of it. And they just did the OJ, they did the reenactment of it on, there was a series a couple months ago. Which I had no interest in watching. And I really put this on just because I was bored, and I certainly wasn't expecting to get any type of context to what's going on now.
Right.
But I think if people really want to do themselves a favor to kind of understand what's going on, why people are not seeing eye to eye, why the cops feel like they're on the defensive, why the black people feel like they're hunted, while the black people feel like the justice system doesn't work for them, which is why they're out there protesting. I'm not going to talk about the assholes that do stupid shit during these protests. There's no justification for that. But why they're out there marching. You watch this. It's really interesting. That's why when the president talks like these things are still here, I might not have really been aware of that if I hadn't just watched this documentary, because it's not something in my conscience. It's probably, as white Americans, it's probably not something in our, we don't think about that stuff. On a daily basis, unless it's on the news, we don't think about injustices that other parts of the culture feel, because
I actually think I do.
I actually do,
well,
too.
Well, we're not insensitive. It's not part of our daily life.
Well, it is in a way, because sometimes if you get pulled over by a cop, you generally feel like you're a victim, that they're just trying to raise money off your back. You go through a red light camera, or go through that speeding camera I wasn't aware of in Nevada. You know, you feel like you're just being fleeced
But it's a different system you and I feel. We feel like we're getting hosed, but we don't fear for our life.
Well, but that's what I think about.
Right.
I do think about that. Like,
and my mom actually called me the other day because she's so worried. She's like, this is what you should do when you get pulled. I'm like, Ma, relax.
But a lot of times I fear about how about the people that fear from their life about the gangs? No, they don't mention how they feel, you know.
And that's very disingenuous when they say black people don't care about that. They've marched in Chicago. It doesn't get the press. But the African-Americans have been marching for years. So they don't want the gang violence in their communities.
And these are
dangerous neighborhoods, and these poor cops have to go into these dangerous neighborhoods where everybody's running around with guns. You're trying to do your job. It's a high-stress situation. Mm-hmm. The gangbangers know you're out to get them. You don't know who's a gangbanger and who's just a kid,
right,
and who's somebody in between that you could still reach. I mean, it's just a cauldron of shit.
But I just feel that the people that they're protesting for, these people that have been shot are actually the felons. They've had records.
It doesn't mean you deserve to die.
But you want to know something? If you're not complying, you know.
That's why I leave for the courts.
Now, now here's the deal. If you want to make a case where, you know, there's an injustice and this has got to stop, when that fella got shot in the stairwell last year by that cop.
And they brought that up a couple times.
You know, and like I said, the cop's got to do something. Yeah, well, this is wrong. Absolutely. We should do something. Absolutely. How come nobody?
Well, we're going to talk in a couple weeks. We're going to have Detective Dave Daugherty from the Bergenfield Police Department's coming on. Not next week, the week after. So I'm going to talk. We're going to talk about policing. I want to talk about what we should do when we encounter the police, some of the, you know, what we need to make our experience better,
yes,
and make their experience better, so everybody can be copacetic, and talk about some of the other things. Some of the struggles. Because I really like that police department. It's my hometown, but it's a very progressive police. It's very mixed as far as the members of the department.
Right.
So I think it's even though it's a small town, I think it'll be very interesting. So we're going to talk more about the policing. I'll talk more about what happened in Dallas and the two guys that got killed. I'll talk about that a little bit more when we do what's coming up,
right,
in the show, how I process that. But I don't judge I don't judge these things. I see the videotapes. I know it's not everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just kind of try to put my faith in the courts, but I also know, unfortunately, the courts are flawed too.
Yes.
And I think, you know, like there was the kid in Cleveland who was running around like the African American, 13 years old. I think Tamir Rice, was that his name?
Yes.
I think so.
You know, he's running around with a gun, and I don't remember what he was doing. Obviously, he didn't listen to exactly what the cop said.
Right.
But he was running around with a gun, and the cop said, I feared for my life. So I definitely want to talk about, it seems like cops fear a lot more for their lives now.
I'm sure that they do.
Right. So, I mean, that's something, you got to weigh things, too.
And also, yeah, and, you know, there's got to be give and take. Look, it's like, you're supposed to do a job under hard circumstances. Like, somebody sitting right here, we're going to watch you do this show. And we're going to pick out everything that's wrong.
We don't have time for that.
Right there. You know, boy, this show's going to stink.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but there's a way to solve that. Cameras. Cameras. I'm all supportive. I think it helps both.
Yeah,
the body cameras
too.
Help both.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree.
And
you're going to start to see and believe
they're very
me.
Expensive, but the government needs to pony up for it.
Or a municipality is going to, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, I expect my taxes to be raised for it.
Yes.
It's fine. I think it protects the people who come in contact with the police, and I think it protects the police.
Yes.
Unfortunately, sometimes when these incidents happen, it magically shut off. That's
that's
an issue, too. But think about this. Think about all the times that things have happened that we never know about.
Right.
So it's not like this stuff is just happening now. It's just such a media savvy world. Not even savvy. Just everything's out there in front of
us. Yeah, it's not just
happening. So I get it. But I just think if you have 7.5 hours to kill. No, but if you have time. If you have time.
Oh, sure.
you guys will definitely find it interesting because you remember OJ.
Yeah.
And you guys remember the trial. So to really give you some perspective about what's going on.
You would come home from work every day, and you'd sit down, and you'd watch like a...
Yeah, I never did that.
Like a trial. It was like a TV series. You know?
Yeah.
Every night, you come home...
It was riveting, I'm sure.
You sit down at dinner, and you watch the trial.
It was. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, you guys both have ESPN, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
So, I would definitely recommend that. And, you know, what the fuck did I just do?
That's too hard to explain. I don't know.
Things I often say to myself on
the show. I like this. You make a poignant statement. What the fuck did I do?
I know.
Nice,
actually,
nice way to clean.
That's
nice transition,
mantra.
Stupid.
What the fuck did I just
well,
do?
While he's fumbling around, what in the hell is in the back of your car?
Oh, well, you know, when you work someplace for 28 years and you have hoarder tendencies like me, you got a lot of shit in your
a
office.
A basket of daisies? There's a basket of daisies,
well,
wrapping paper.
There was well, one of the things that we would do is that every season we would, like, decorate the office for things, and it was all up in this one closet, and it was all my shit. So
right.
I have to take it home, but it's like packing the car and working late. And
deck Pip's car with boughs of holly is what it looks like out there.
I knew that you would.
You know,
see
you're
going
to get killed if you have it pulled over by the police. They might think a perp's hiding in the back seat with all that shit.
Well, I don't know that there isn't one.
Well, as you were waiting for me, well, Joe's going to get here. 5 minutes of that was looking with intrigue in the back of her car. I just walked by. I'm like, Jesus Christ. What is all this?
I know. Well,
things we'll be saying during the next segment. All right. You're listening to Davins. And on the break, new music from DJ Combo and Papa Jam featuring Tony T and DJ Rafa. This is their new song, Boom Boom Boom. Of course, you can find out more about them at khb-music.de. khb-music.de. More show. Don't go anywhere.